Well, a recent study was conducted by the Center of Bible Engagement. You might remember I gave you the results of this study last year, but it is so fitting and so important that I feel that it is important to also give them again this year. In that study, they surveyed over 100,000 people, ranging from the age of 8 to 80 years old. The group of participants were included both believers and unbelievers. And here's the eye-opening discovery that the data revealed. If someone reads the Bible just one time a week, and that includes coming to church on Sunday and listening to the Word, if they read it just one time a week, there is little to no effect on key areas of the person's life. Now, if the person reads the Bible two times a week, there is still a negligent effect on key areas in their life. Three times a week, the research noticed that there was a small effect, small tick up, but not something major or significant. But if someone reads the Bible four or more times a week, the data shows a significant, dramatic effect in key areas of the person's life. Now, you might expect that the effect of the Bible is more linear, that the more you read it, that the more you would increase in its effect. But what the research found is that between 0 to 3 times a week, it was basically a flat line. And then once you reached four, boom, it skyrocketed in terms of the effect that the Bible would have on your life. Now, here is the behaviors and the key areas in your life that are significantly impacted. Again, 0 to 3 times a week, little impact in these areas. Four or more, you're having all these effects, all of these influences on your life. Feeling lonely drops 30%. Anger issues drops 32%. Bitterness in relationships, that is, with your wife or your kids or your family, your coworkers, all of that drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Sex outside of marriage drops 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant drops 60%. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Here are some positive behaviors that come from reading the Bible four or more times a week. Sharing your faith jumps 228%. Discipling others jumps 230%. Memorizing Bible verses jumps 407%. All of this just from reading God's Word four or more days a week. 0 to 3 days, little impact on someone's life. 4 days or more, boom! Exponential growth in terms of the impact. Now, the reason for this is the more that you read God's Word, which reveals who God is, what God has done, who we are, what our purpose is, what God commands us to do, the more that we read God's Word, the more that we are influenced by it. This makes sense to us, right? If you hang out with a group of people constantly, they're going to have an influence on maybe how you talk, how you act, how you interact with other people, whether for the good or for the bad, right? Bad influence, bad company corrupts good character. We know that from the Bible. Or think about it this way. If you watch a particular TV show or you listen to a particular political figure or some sort of influencer, the more you saturate with that person, the more that they are going to affect how you think. And so simply reading God's Word carefully and consistently has a tremendous impact on your life. If that is what is the main thing influencing you, it's going to impact how you live, how you think, what you say, and all that you do. And so today's sermon is going to focus on the discipline and delight in reading your Bible. We will specifically be looking at, as Brother Jeb just read, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, and we will see how it encourages us to carefully and consistently read God's Word, which is exactly what these findings from this survey indicate. And so my prayer is that this sermon would motivate you to resolve this year to diligently and consistently read your Bibles every day. And so with my intentions very clearly stated, let's read Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 once again, and then begin unpacking it. So Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. All right, well, the first thing that we must recognize in this passage is that we are called to be holy in the midst of an unholy world. We are called to be holy in an unholy world. The world that we live in is a dark, twisted, and crooked world. How so? Well, it promotes things that are contrary to God and His will. The world celebrates what God finds deplorable and criticizes what God finds admirable. Our culture is prone to call evil good and good evil. It is a sin-saturated world in which sin is tolerated, justified, encouraged, and sometimes celebrated. The people in this twisted and crooked generation are inclined to complaining, pessimism, negativism, grumbling, blaming anyone or anything other than themselves, and throwing pity parties. But as verse 15 says, true believers, true disciples of Christ, are to shine as lights in the world. This means that believers are to be markedly different from the rest of the world. We are set apart from the normal ways of society. We are exiles in this world. As believers, our true citizenship is in heaven. And that is where we belong, and that is what shapes our behavior. We are temporary residents and aliens in this world. We must stand out as lights, not blend in with the rest of culture. We are called to expose and illuminate the darkness, not ignore it or participate in it. Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, that we are the light of the world, and we are to shine our light so that others would see God and glorify our Father in heaven as a result. Jesus also says in John chapter 8, verse 12, that he is the light of the world, and whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. Similarly, the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, says that those who have true fellowship with Jesus, who are truly united with Christ, will not walk in the darkness. And then we have the Apostle Paul, who calls believers children of light. And so it is abundantly clear that genuine believers, genuine disciples of Christ, are those who must not participate in the dark, twisted ways of the world. We are to be markedly different, to be set apart. God calls us to shine as lights in this world. Now the problem is that this dark, twisted, crooked generation will tempt you to live in a way that is contrary to God's word. They will tempt you to live as they do instead of living markedly different. The world has a way of seducing believers to living like the rest of culture. In its crookedness and twistedness, it wants you to be crooked and twisted as well. The world wants you to conform to culture and will certainly tempt you to do just that. But we must remain steadfast and faithful and shine like stars in this crooked and twisted generation. Now the pressing question is how? How do we do this? How do you live in this way? How do you know what not to conform to? How do you know what to expose? How do you know what to set yourself apart from? How do you shine in this world when your family member comes out as homosexual? How do you shine when you're invited to a gender transition party? How do you shine when your friend is going to encourage their daughter to have an abortion? How do you shine when everyone else at the workplace is gossiping? How do you shine when surrounded by a dark, crooked, twisted world that is trying to ensnare you every step of the way? How do you shine? How do you live set apart? That's where verse 16 comes into play, and that's where we now turn our attention to now. Let's read verses 14 and 16 again. Verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked, twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And so, according to the text, how do you shine as lights in this world? Well, verse 16 informs us that it is by holding fast to the word of life. The way that you remain markedly different and set apart from the rest of the world is by holding fast to the word of life. And so what is the word of life? Well, the word of life refers perhaps most specifically to the gospel, because it is through the gospel that you receive true eternal life. But it's also true to understand that the word of life is referring to the Bible in general, because it is through the Bible that God reveals what true life is, what it means to grow in wisdom and strength and guidance. It is all done through His written word. We find life, we know how to live through His written word, which is the Bible. And so the word of life, I believe, in verse 16 is most specifically referring to the gospel, but also in general is referring to the Bible. And so if this is what the word of life is, then what does it mean to hold fast to it? Well, the verb to hold fast is not used many other times in the Bible. I think it's a total of 5 other times in the New Testament. And when it is used, it carries the understanding of holding your position or holding your gaze, fixing your gaze upon something. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, 16. The same verb is translated, keep a close watch on. That's the verb. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 5, the same verb is translated, and he fixed his attention on. There it is. He fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. And so the idea of holding fast to the word of life means holding your gaze on the word of life, fixing your attention on God's word, holding your position on the word, not leaving or straying from it, but staying with God's word. And so you shine like stars in this dark, crooked world by holding fast to the word of life, by fixing your mind upon God's word, by holding your ground on the Bible. And so what we see is that God's word, the word of life, the gospel, is the fuel that keeps your light burning brightly for God. If you don't hold fast to the word of life, if you don't fix your gaze upon the Bible, then your light will grow dim. The word is the fuel for your lamp. John Piper once said, "Don't starve the wick of your lamp by not soaking it in the kerosene of God's word. Keep your wick in the word." End quote. The way that you shine in this dark world is by holding fast to the word of life. And so don't starve your light by reading the word sparingly. It is the fuel for you to burn brightly for God. If you do not read it, you will not burn for Him. And so practically speaking, how do you hold fast to the word of life? There's no secret mystical steps. There's no magic formulas. There's no hidden methods. You hold fast to the word of life by reading God's word. It's truly that simple, but it is of utmost importance. It's why I devote an entire sermon, at least one sermon a year, strictly to the importance of reading your Bibles. It's imperative for believers to fix their eyes, fix their gaze upon the Bible and read it. Now, when I say read the Bible, I don't mean skim through it like you might an article that you are trying to read online. I don't mean that you read it just to get through it, like it's just a box that you need to check. I don't mean that you give it a few hurried, distracted minutes at best when you read it. Rather, you read it with intentionality. You read it with the goal of understanding what the author is trying to communicate. You read with the understanding that you are reading God's very words. This is not the word of man. This is God Almighty writing to His creation. We would do well to not ignore it, neglect it, or prioritize it low on the list. Reading your word is more important than checking the weather. Reading your word is more important than finding out the latest thing that some politician said. Reading the word is more important than anything that you could presently look up on your phones. We are to prioritize it for what it is, God's very word. And so if you are to read the word carefully, if you are to not give it unhurried time, then it requires that you carefully think about the passage that you're reading. If you want to read God's word, carefully think about the passage that you're reading. Reflect on what it means. Ask questions of the text. It's okay to stop reading and go, wait a second, this just said this, but I don't get it. That's good. Stop. Think. Ask questions. Use cross-references. Dive deeper into God's word. Pray about the passage. Praise God about what it reveals about Him in the passage. This is what it looks like to read your Bible carefully, to not just skim through it, to not just get through it as quickly as possible, but to read your Bible. And so holding fast to the word of life means carefully and consistently reading God's Word. Ideally, you want to read it every day. I understand that there are days in which it gets away from you, but ideally, the goal is to read your Bible every day. At minimum, you want to read it consistently, regularly, more days than not diet of ingesting God's Word. That's why I encourage you to do one of these Bible reading plans in the back. It keeps you in the Word. It gives you a plan of what you're going to read day in and day out so that you don't wake up and go, well, I don't know what to read. And then you spend the next 20 minutes flipping through the Bible and going, I'll read this from Ephesians. And then you go, oh gosh, I got to get ready for work. And now you have 5 minutes to read Ephesians. Have a plan. That's why I encourage you to take one of those in the back. Whatever your specific plan and approach you take, make sure you carefully and consistently read God's Word. If you are not reading the Bible regularly, then you are not fixing your attention, your gaze upon it. Your gaze, therefore, is fixated on something else. Your phone, television, stock market, entertainment, your job, whatever. And those things are having a greater influence on your life. But if you hold fast to the Word of life, if you want to hold fast to the Word of life, then you must read the Word of life carefully and consistently. Now, when you hold fast to God's Word, that is, when you carefully and consistently read your Bible, then a number of things happen as a result. A lot of those things from the survey that we read earlier this morning. But also, God's Word changes and transforms you. The more that you read God's Word, the more that you set your gaze upon it, the more it will influence how you think, what you say, and all that you do. Your life will conform more and more to God's ways, and more that you read God's Word. And so by reading God's Word carefully and consistently, you will change from a pen light to a flashlight to a spotlight to a lighthouse to a star in the sky, shining brightly for God and His Word. The Word of life also maintains and keeps you shining as a light for God. God uses the Bible to sustain believers and encourage them to keep shining for Him and His kingdom. The Bible also convicts you of the darkness that you are still living in. God's Word reveals whatever crooked, twisted ways that you may be walking in, and then it leads you to repent and no longer walk in those ways. These are just some of the glorious results from reading your Bible regularly and carefully and consistently. And all of them cause you to shine brighter in this crooked, twisted culture. When you hold fast to the Word of life by carefully and consistently reading your Bible, then you will know from God's Word what not to conform to. You will know what and how to expose and bring to light. You knowing God's Word will impart wisdom on how you set yourself apart from the rest of the darkness, the rest of this world, and yet still interact with those in the darkness who need to see and hear the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Reading your Bible diligently and regularly will give you wisdom in handling practical cultural issues involving homosexuality, transgenderism, abortion, universalism, and the like. By carefully and consistently reading God's Word, you will be better equipped to navigate through this life as you are surrounded by dark, crooked and twisted generation that is trying to ensnare you every step of the way. These things, all these things, simply will not happen by a quick, cursory, hurried, distracted, inconsistent reading of God's Word. Consider another quote from John Piper. He said, quote, "Satan devotes 168 hours a week trying to deceive you. Do you think you can maintain a renewed mind with a 10-minute glance at God's Word once a day?" I find that rather convicting, don't you? This year, resolve to hold fast to the Word of Life by consistently and carefully reading your Bible. The way that you shine in this dark, twisted world is by holding fast to the Word of Life. Church, understand this. God's Word is the fuel for your lamp, without which you will not shine. God's Word is the food for your soul, without which you will starve. God invites you today to receive His Word and the Word of Life. He wants you to receive it, but not just to receive it, to hold fast to it, to fix your gaze upon it, to hold your position on God's Word. It's fuel for your lamp. It is food for your soul. And so take and hold fast to God's Word. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Store it up in your heart. Memorize it. Grow in maturity and wisdom through it. Delight yourself in it. Praise God for it. Pray it back to God. Encourage others with it. Share it with others, especially those who are part of this crooked, twisted generation. Fight with all of your might to fix your gaze on God's Word. Resolve to hold fast to the Word of Life. Church, if you desire to shine like a bright light, a bright star in this dark world, if you desire to know and love God more, to become wise, to bear more fruit for God, if you desire to grow in your faith, to know your convictions and to love others more, if you desire to fight your sin and boldly share the gospel, if you desire to encourage others with God's Word, if you desire to suffer and face persecution well, if you desire to experience greater joy and contentment and peace, and if you desire to glorify God, then you do so. You do so. You must hold fast to the Word of Life. You must fix your attention on God's Word. You must carefully and consistently read your Bible. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Flood your mind with His Word. The God of the universe, your all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, good, sovereign Creator, speaks to you through this book. You would be a fool to neglect it. You would be a fool to not prioritize it. My prayer is that we have a church filled with wise sages who love God's Word and meditate on it and grow wise from it, who do not neglect the Word of their Creator, but who grow in godliness and wisdom. And so don't neglect God's Word. Don't put it low on your list of priorities. Don't assume you'll find time for it. Fight for it. Plan for it. Read your Bible. Prioritize and plan to read the Word of God every day. You can't afford not to. And I encourage you to not do this alone. We are a family here at this church. And so let's encourage and spur each other on in this discipline, right? Let's help each other to grow in our delight in reading of God's Word. That might look like setting up accountability with one or two other trusted people who will check on you once a week to see how you're doing in reading the Bible. Or maybe each week after service when you go to the fellowship hall, and maybe the first thing you talk about is, hey, what did you read in your Bible this past week? What are you studying in your Bible? What passages did you read? What did you learn from it? Let that be the topic of our discussion, the first thing, as opposed to, I don't know, how terrible the Giants are. The New York Giants. Maybe I'm the only Giants fan here. Who knows? And so let's encourage one another this year as we read the Bible, as we carefully and consistently study the Word. Church, the way to shine as lights in this dark world is by fixing your mind on God's Word. So this year, resolve to hold fast to the Word of life by carefully and consistently reading God's Word. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Well, gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, God, that you are a God who speaks. You are not a God who is silent. You have spoken to us through your Word. You have spoken to us, most importantly, through your Son, and that is recorded for us in this Word. And so, Father, I pray, we are so prone to distractions. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us for neglecting your Word. Forgive us for running to other things first. Lord, would we prioritize your Word? Would you help us to set up a plan that we would read your Word every day and so saturate and flood our minds with your Word? Would you help us to hold fast to the Word of life and therefore help us to shine as lights in this crooked and twisted generation? Oh God, help us to seek you in your face and to set our gaze upon you as revealed in your Word. Give us diligence and discipline to do that. And help us as a church family to encourage one another as we read your Word together. We love you, our God and King. Help us to know you, love you, and trust you more as we read your Word. We ask these things, Christ Jesus, in your mighty name. Amen.